Hey, welcome back to Unzip, the show where we crack open the latest AI and ML research papers and figure out what actually matters. Big thanks to our sponsors today, Ada, which bridges the gap between research and production, AIAGO Consulting, pronounced AGO, your silicon development partners from AI all the way down to SoKey Design, and Zen Semiconductor, an umbrella company with a whole portfolio of silicon industry companies, including Ada for deploying AI at scale in any business. They've got this really cool Glow compiler that turns research models into production inference. All right, today we're unpacking five papers covering everything from teaching AI to build software from scratch to smarter speech recognition, multimodal context learning, and using game solvers to train better LLM agents. Let's get into it. First up, we've got a paper called Spec First, and the full title is Behavioral Specification Elicitation as a First-Class Step in Agent-Based Program Synthesis from Scratch. This one comes from Yihao Chen, Shi Chang, Feng Lin and colleagues, and it's tackling a problem that honestly doesn't get enough attention, writing programs completely from scratch. So here's the setup. LLM-based coding agents have gotten really impressive at things like fixing bugs or adding features to existing code, because there's already a code base there giving them context. But what happens when you hand an agent just a text description and say, "Go build this program from zero"? Turns out that's brutally hard. There's a benchmark called Program Bench that quantifies exactly this gap. And the numbers are kind of shocking. Even the best frontier models, we're talking the most powerful LLMs available, solve fewer than 1% of instances. 1%, that's not a small gap, that's a chasm. The paper argues that the core problem is that existing frameworks try to do everything in one pass, read the documentation, figure out what the program should actually do, and then write the code all at once. And when you're doing all three of those things simultaneously, they interfere with each other. It's like trying to research, plan, and write a novel all in the same moment. So SpecFirst's big insight is to separate these concerns. The key innovation here is making behavioral specification elicitation a first-class step. Basically, before you write any code, you dedicate an explicit phase to understanding and systematically probing the behavioral oracle. An oracle here is an execute-only binary, meaning you can run it, but you can't read its source code. The agent has to interact with it like a black box to learn what the program actually does. What SpecFirst does is have the agent run structured experiments against that oracle, testing edge cases, exploring input-output behaviors, basically doing empirical science on the program, and then crystallize all of that into a formal behavioral specification before synthesis even begins. The results are pretty striking. By just separating this specification phase out as its own dedicated step, the framework gets meaningfully better performance on Program Bench compared to the end-to-end single-pass approaches. The agent enters the coding phase with a much richer understanding of what it's actually supposed to build. For practitioners, this is a really actionable insight. If you're building coding agents or any kind of program synthesis pipeline, the lesson here is that exploration and synthesis shouldn't be tangled together. Give your agent a dedicated discovery phase. It mirrors how good human engineers work. You spec before you code, and you test your understanding before committing to an implementation. All right, paper two is closely related. It's from some of the same authors, Yihao Chen and Shi Chang, again, along with Khaled Chawa and others, and it's called MindForge, Teaching Small Language Models Whole Lifecycle Software Engineering via Source-Free Program Synthesis. So if SpecFirst is about the strategy for solving from scratch programming, MindForge is about the training infrastructure to actually teach models to do this well. And this is addressing a different but equally important problem, the lack of scalable training environments for this from scratch setting. The key phrase here is whole lifecycle software engineering. Most training environments for coding agents focus on one slice of the process, maybe just the coding part or just the testing part. MindForge argues you need to train across the entire cycle, specification, implementation, testing, debugging, the whole thing. That's a fundamentally harder environment to build. The source-free part is also really important. Traditional program synthesis training often relies on having source code available to learn from. But in the real from-scratch setting, like what Program Bench tests, you only have a binary oracle. So MindForge builds a training environment that works in exactly that harder regime, without needing source code. What makes this especially interesting is the focus on small language models. There's been so much work on making giant frontier models do this stuff, but MindForge is asking, can we actually train a smaller, more deployable model to be genuinely competent at this full lifecycle task? That's a much more practical question for most organizations. The framework essentially creates a curriculum of increasingly complex from-scratch programming challenges with the oracle as the ground truth, and trains smaller models through this whole lifecycle process. The environment construction is itself a contribution. It's described as something that existing approaches simply don't have a scalable version of. and the results suggest that with this kind of targeted training environment, smaller models can meaningfully close the gap on this hard benchmark. That's significant because it implies the problem isn't just model size, it's about having the right training signal across the full engineering lifecycle. For ML engineers thinking about coding assistance or automated software engineering systems, these two papers together, SpecFirst and MindForge, paint a really coherent picture. The architectural insight is separate your phases, and the training insight is you need full lifecycle supervision, not just code generation supervision. Together, they're pointing at a more principled path to agents that can actually build things from nothing.
Okay, paper three is a fun one, and it's a bit of a pivot, voice memory for agentic speech recognition. Authors are Chow-Han Huck Yang, Zi-Ching Chen, Piotr Zalasko, and colleagues. This one is about making speech recognition smarter without retraining your models. The problem it's solving is super relatable if you've ever worked with ASR systems. That's automatic speech recognition. These systems get deployed into specific domains, like maybe a hospital, or a legal firm, or a tech company, and each of those domains has its own vocabulary, its own speaking patterns, its own quirks. But retraining or fine-tuning a big speech model every time you deploy it to a new domain is expensive and slow. Voice Memory's approach is elegant. It's an inference-only scheme, meaning you don't touch the underlying model weights at all. The system is frozen. Instead, what you do is maintain a per-domain memory file, literally a markdown file, that captures domain-specific knowledge and correction patterns. The architecture has two roles, which the authors call the listener and the thinker, and I love this framing. The listener is your standard ASR system running in real time, producing hypotheses, best guesses at what was said. The thinker is a frozen corrector, LLM, that reads the memory file and decides, for each utterance, whether to intervene and correct the hypothesis or just let it through unchanged. That abstain or act decision is really key. Then asynchronously, meaning it's not slowing down your real-time pipeline, there's a score-gated optimizer that actually updates the memory file. And the gating is clever. An edit to the memory only gets accepted if it strictly improves performance on a held-out set. So the memory gets better over time, but it can't get worse. That's a nice safety property. This is extended from the classical ASR language model framework, and the listener-thinker split is essentially giving you a two-tier cognitive architecture for speech. Fast perception at one level, deliberate reasoning and memory at another. Very brain-inspired, honestly. The practical implications are huge. If you're deploying speech recognition in production, this gives you a path to domain adaptation that doesn't require expensive retraining cycles. You can update the domain knowledge through the memory file, the model stays frozen, and you get the benefits of specialization without the costs. For teams running inference at scale, that's a very attractive trade-off. Paper 4 is CL Bench V, evaluating multimodal context learning from grounding to knowledge acquisition. This comes from Lai Wei, Chengxi Li, Jiaping Li, and others. And this one is fundamentally a benchmarking paper, but don't let that make you tune out, because the gap it's identifying is really important. So the concept being studied here is context learning. And in this setting, that means the model's ability to learn from task-specific information provided at inference time, rather than just relying on what it baked in during pre-training. Think of it like, instead of knowing everything in advance, the model reads some relevant materials right before doing a task and adapts accordingly. Existing evaluations of context learning have mostly focused on text. Give the model some text context, see if it can use it. But CL Bench V is pointing out that in the real world, the context you need to learn from is often multimodal. It's figures in a scientific paper. It's charts in a financial report. It's maps for spatial reasoning tasks. Text alone doesn't cut it. The benchmark is structured around a progression from grounding all the way to knowledge acquisition. Grounding is about whether the model can correctly interpret and reference visual information. Like, can it read a chart accurately? Knowledge acquisition is the harder question. Can the model actually learn new concepts or relationships from visual context and then apply them to novel problems? That grounding to knowledge acquisition spectrum is a really useful framework because it lets you diagnose where models break down. Maybe a model is great at grounding, but fails at actually synthesizing new knowledge from what it sees. That's a very different failure mode than a model that can't even read the chart in the first place. The evaluation covers scientific figures, financial tables, spatial scenes, maps, a really diverse set of multimodal contexts. And the findings, as you might expect from a benchmarking paper, reveal that current multimodal models still struggle substantially with the harder end of this spectrum, particularly when it comes to acquiring genuinely new knowledge from visual context at inference time. For practitioners building multimodal systems, retrieval augmented generation with images, document understanding, anything involving charts or figures, this benchmark is directly useful. It gives you a structured way to evaluate whether your system is actually learning from the visual context you're giving it, or just pattern matching on surface features. That distinction matters enormously for production reliability. And the last paper today is one I find genuinely exciting, CAST, Game Solvers as Turn-Level Teachers for LLM Agents. Authors are Yu Wang, Yikai Zhang, Wentao Shi, and colleagues. This one is about training LLMs to make better decisions in complex, long-horizon tasks. The core challenge here is credit assignment in reinforcement learning for LLMs.
When you train an agent with reinforcement learning using verifiable rewards, which is a paradigm that's gotten a lot of buzz recently, sometimes called RLVR, you typically only observe whether the agent won or lost at the very end of a game or task. That's a sparse reward signal. And the problem with sparse rewards is that when your agent finally loses on turn 47, you don't know if the mistake happened on turn 3 or turn 46. What CAST does is use game solvers. These are algorithms that can evaluate the strength of a game position, like the kind of evaluation engines used in chess or Go, as a source of dense turn-level process signals. The idea is brilliant in its simplicity. If you make a move and the solver's estimated win probability goes down, that was probably a bad move. If it goes up, that was probably good. That gives you a reward signal at every single turn, not just at the end. The authors are careful about the cost and accuracy trade-off here, which is something they explicitly flag. Existing dense signal sources are often either cheap but inaccurate or accurate but expensive.
Game solvers sit in a sweet spot. For games where solvers exist, they're both cheap to query and highly accurate about position quality. They use this solver-derived turn-level signal to train LLM agents, essentially creating a teacher that can say that specific decision, right there, was where things started going wrong. And the results show that this leads to significantly better agents compared to training on sparse final rewards alone. Now, you might be thinking, okay, but how many real problems are games with solvers? And that's a fair question. But the principle here generalizes any domain where you can define a local quality metric, a function that tells you whether a step improved your situation, can potentially be used as this kind of dense process teacher. Games just make the proof of concept clean and verifiable. For researchers working on LLM reasoning, agentic systems, or any long-horizon decision-making tasks, this paper is a strong argument for investing in dense process supervision rather than relying purely on outcome-based rewards. The training efficiency gains and the quality of the learned policies are both compelling. It's a concrete, practical instantiation of a broader principle that the ML community has been circling around for a while. All right, that's five papers down, and honestly, it's been a packed episode. Big shout out again to our sponsors, Ada for making research grade A, I actually deployable in production, Ago Consulting for expert silicon development from AI architectures, all the way to SOC, and Zen Semiconductor for their whole portfolio of silicon industry companies and Ada's Glow compiler that handles the messy work of turning your research models into real production inference. These are the people keeping the lights on so we can keep doing this. If you're enjoying Unzip and want more AI coverage, definitely check out GitNews AI or AI Special Report. Both are part of the Ada Podcast Network and worth adding to your rotation. Links to all five papers are in the show notes. Go dig in, and if you haven't subscribed yet, now's a great time. New episodes drop regularly, and we're always following the freshest research coming out. See you next time!